This is David Duschman from craftandvision.com, and you're listening to the Petapixel Photography Podcast with Sharky James.
Welcome to the Petapixel Photography Podcast, episode 35. Another photographer dies while rooftopping. In this episode, rooftopping photography claims another. A photographer injures an NHL player. Tokina has a new ultra-wide zoom. Apple wants to make you a better photographer. Film was the top seller this holiday season. And listener Mark in California wants to know how to keep up with the competition. All that and more in episode 35 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. Thank you so much, David, for opening the show. I greatly appreciate it. You likely all know the name David Duschman. But for those of you who don't, he's a world and humanitarian assignment photographer, best-selling author of Vision Mongers, among other books, a workshop leader across the world, has taught on Creative Live, and he's also an all-around great guy. To check out his work, head on over to daviddushemin.com. That's daviddushemin.com. You can also find him at craftandvision.com as well. I hope you all had a happy and safe new year, and 2016 is going to be an amazing, amazing year, and we're so happy that you're here with us. I'd like to thank you all for joining us here in episode 35 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. We appreciate you all so much, and thank you for subscribing, rating, and reviewing us in iTunes, or wherever else you listen to us. We also appreciate you telling your friends about us as well. Okay, with that, I'm your host, Sharky James. Let's hit it. As we've discussed here on the podcast before, photography is rarely worth your life. Now, sure, there's good reasons to risk it, such as to document conflicts and wars around the world, or social causes that you really truly believe in. But illegally scaling a building, I think we'd all agree, is not a good reason for one losing their life. Sadly, the latest victim is Connor Cummings, a 24-year-old who lived for the thrill of the extremely dangerous form of photography known as rooftopping. On Wednesday, December 30th, 2015, in New York City, Cummings and 18-year-old friend Dimitri Olivares set out to climb the 52-story Four Seasons Hotel in Midtown Manhattan during a rainstorm when Cummings slipped near the top of the building, landing on a maintenance catwalk 9 stories below. According to the New York Daily News, Olivares originally fled the scene without telling anyone what had happened to his friend. But when he was about 10 blocks away, he had a change of heart, and he decided to head back there and contact authorities. Cummings' aunt, Kate Gentile, told ABC 7 News in New York City, quote, "He's a young kid. He's a good kid. They weren't drinking or anything. They were taking a picture," end quote. What she left out, of course, is they were taking a picture while illegally trespassing, doing something that you or I may not do because it's illegal and dangerous. Now listen, I feel badly that this young man died. He's never coming back. His death could have been avoided, though. And that's why people are barred from doing these things. It's not to spoil anyone's fun. No one wants to have to tell someone's parents that their kid died because he was on their building late at night to take pictures when he shouldn't have been there. So it's sad. And as I said months ago when that kid in Russia died while rooftopping, I bet the moment he slipped and he knew he was going to die, he realized it just wasn't worth it, and he wished he hadn't even gone out that night. But it was too late by that point, of course. These deaths don't seem to stop others, though. Rooftopping is what they're known for. It's helped them build the large social media followings that they have. Giving it up means being like everyone else, and I think they clearly want to be different, right? So dying is a risk that they accept as being a rooftop photographer. And while I feel badly for them, they knew what the risks were. It's like any dangerous endeavor. You know, if you decide to go skydiving, you know that there's a chance that you could die. They take these risks on knowing full well that they could die, but I think they do it for the thrill and the notoriety. Now, on our site, reader Mark the Tog had this to say, quote, "A very sad story likely to be repeated as photographers try to outdo each other with the creation of images that will create the buzz that seems to drive the industry. Work that this fellow was trying to make is regularly featured on sites like PP and thus perpetuates this behavior," end quote. I get where Mark is coming from, but I disagree. This story is a cautionary tale. Rooftopping photography is crazy dangerous, and just not worth it. If someone reads or listens to a story about someone going up onto a roof and falling to their death and thinks, you know what, I want to give that a try, that's probably someone that's going to do something dangerous anyhow. Reader Orico says, what a shame, stop doing this. Another reader, guy over here, said, sad and totally preventable. To which others pointed out that luckily he didn't kill anyone else on the way down. You know, if he had fallen off another part of the building, he very well could have killed someone else on the sidewalk below. And that's another reason not to do rooftoping photography. It's one thing for you to die, it's another to take others with you. So just don't do it. You know, what more else is there to say? R.I.P. Connor Cummings, dead at age 24. Much too soon, son. To kick off 2016, lens maker Kenko Tokina has announced a new 14-20mm f2 ultra-wide-angle zoom lens designed for Canon and Nikon APS-C size crop sensor bodies. The Tokina ATX 14-20mm f2 Pro DX has a 35mm equivalent range of approximately 21-32mm and has a large fixed f2.0 aperture to help you keep your ISO in check and achieve faster shutter speeds if needed. Its plastic aspherical lens provides what they say is improved surface accuracy and anti-reflection thanks to a special coating. Two low dispersion aspherical glass elements help correct various aberrations so you don't have to do that in post-processing so much. And a brand new feature is their new one-touch focus clutch system, which lets you toggle between manual and autofocus by sliding the focus ring in or out versus having to flip a switch. Because flipping a switch was apparently too much for anyone to ask, right? I don't know. Now, we'll see how this works in reality once these things are out in the wild, but most will keep it in the AF position, I'm thinking, so it really shouldn't be a problem. And I wonder why they engineered this into the lens rather than sticking with a simple switch, which has worked for many, many years. You know, it's an unknown new potential point of failure. So why do that? I don't understand why companies do that to themselves, but we'll see. It uses an 82mm filter thread size and has a 9-blade aperture, and pricing as well as availability have yet to be announced on this. You know, this year, 2016, we're going to see some really cool things announced. It is really exciting what is coming down the pike. There's going to be some surprises. There's going to be some things that we've hoped for a long time now. 2016 is going to be an amazing year for photography. But so far, in my mind, this lens isn't one of those. It might be a good lens. I don't know. Not super exciting. Now, before the hipsters get too excited about this next story, about film being the number one selling product during the 2015 holiday season on Amazon.com, I think it's important to note that it was actually Fujifilm's Instax Mini Instant Film that took the top spot. And honestly, I'm not surprised. My kids love these darn things. You know, having instant photos to share with their friends really resonates with them. One of my daughters has them tacked up all over her wall. And you know what? It really doesn't resonate with me, though, because you get 20 sheets of Instax Instant Film for about $15 US. Now, think about how many selfies that teens take. Yeah, 20 shots goes by in no time. Or should I say, $15 goes by in no time. And Fujifilm must be ecstatic about that. They're selling these things like crazy. Sometimes it's even hard to find them in stock. In case you're wondering, the GoPro Hero 4 Silver came in second place, with an Amazon Basics head strap mount for GoPro cameras taking third. Now, Kodak recently announced that it may be profitable in 2016, Lomography is on the rise, and instant photography in general seems to be taking off. Teenagers are used to the instant gratification of digital, so instant film cameras kind of makes a lot of sense, I think. You know, it's quaint. Take a picture, and you get a keepsake print. That's not something they're used to. And who knows? Maybe they're going to venture out into the more considered world of film photography. Nah, that takes too long. Next. A week ago in episode 32, we talked about how a photographer's lens hood fell onto the ice, and hockey players momentarily thought two pucks were in play. Yeah, that's pretty confusing, but no harm, no foul, right? No one got hurt, so it wasn't really that big of a deal. And maybe just the photographer's ego was bruised a little. Well, in this latest incident, which happened on New Year's Day 2016, during the NHL Winter Classic between the Montreal Canadiens and the Boston Bruins, Montreal captain Max Pacioretty was skating alongside the boards when he ran into the lens of a photographer who was shooting through the hole in the glass that's there for shooting the game. Now, this isn't new, of course. Players have been injured in this manner for decades now. This usually happens when photographers don't maintain situational awareness. They're not sure what's going on because they're watching the game rather than seeing what's going on the other side of their gear. And then bad things happen. In this particular case, Pacioretty's arm impacted the lens and it required tending to on the bench by medical staff before returning back to the game. Now, I don't care if you're shooting an NHL game or your local youth sports league, it's important to be aware of what's going on to the extent you can at all times. Not only can you injure someone with your gear, not paying attention could cost you thousands of dollars in repairs. And a lot of people forget about this, but you could even be sued. If someone gets injured, they're going to be looking to you to make things right. So if you don't have proper liability insurance, you're hosed. I've seen things like this absolutely ruin people financially for many years. And a lot of times, it was because they weren't paying attention. You know, accidents will happen, of course, but what you can do is make sure that carelessness doesn't cost you. And you also don't want to be responsible for causing anyone injury. You're out there shooting a game or whatever you're shooting. You're having fun. You're trying to make great images. The last thing you want to do is hurt somebody. And you don't want to destroy your gear because that can really injure your wallet. Everyone and their mother, sometimes literally, are doing workshops. Even Apple's in the game. The ginormous company has been teaching classes for many years now at its Apple stores. And since pretty much everyone takes photos with their smartphone these days, it makes sense to teach people how to get the most out of that experience. And they're also there to sell you some things if you need it to. Part of their Start Something New campaign, the workshops, which starts this month in January 2016, focus on all things creative people are doing with the company's products. Those specifically having to do with photography and imaging are workshops entitled iPhone Photography, iPhone Videography, and Perfect Your Photos on Mac. Of the workshops, Apple says, quote, "We'll teach you how to shoot photos more creatively and help you try out various accessories and techniques, like long exposure for light trails, using time-lapse to show progression, or getting up close with nature using a macro lens. Then we'll explore artistic ways to adjust and edit your photos so you can create a work of art, find your style, or just improve your skills." End quote. These workshops are available around the world right now, so if you're interested, head on over to your local Apple Store's website and check their schedule. You know, I'm thinking I might want to check these out myself and see exactly what they're teaching. It might be interesting to see who's teaching these things. Are they the geniuses? How much training do they have? And do they actually know about photography? That would be fun, I think. We're all busy these days, you know, and there's just not enough time in the day to search through all your Instagram photos, looking for which got the most love in 2015. But thankfully, the website 2015best9.com makes it easy for you. And you can look up not just yours, but anyone's. Okay, so you've got time for that, but you don't have time to do it yourself. All right, I get it. I see how it's going here. There's no login or registration required. All you have to do is just type in an Instagram account name, and the site does the rest for you. And depending on what time of day it is, you could wait up to 10 minutes, but I found it was less than 30 seconds or so when I tried. Now, as the Petapixel mothership points out, 2015 Best 9 appears to be funded by annoying pop-ups, but when I checked it out, I didn't see any using the Chrome browser, so maybe they got rid of that, or maybe my Chrome browser's automatically blocking that stuff. I don't know. It looks like the site also has an upcoming iOS app out due sometime in January 2016, which it calls, quote, "a new matchmaking app for Instagrammers," end quote. That's just what the world needs, right? Another dating app. But this thing was brilliant. The 2015best9.com site has gone viral as people check out their best 9 photos of the year, and now they're backing it up with an app, so that's pretty smart. Now, as photographers, I think this is actually really helpful because it shows you what's resonated with people in the past year. And if you've got clients you want to serve better or just followers and you want to see what is really grabbing their attention, this would be a great way of doing that. Now, of course, I had to check out mine, right? And coming in at number one wasn't even a photo that I took. It was one that was taken by my friend Sony artisan Miguel Quiles. It's a wonderful portrait that he did of this gentleman who was just in the audience at a workshop he was teaching at Adorama in New York City. Great, great photo. You guys have all got to check it out. In addition to that, one photo was of me, four were gear shots, one was actually a sports photo of mine, another my gorgeous wife, And the last, well, you'll just have to see it for yourself. Plug in LensShark into 2015best9.com and you'll see. Today's listener question comes from Mark in California, who emailed his question to me at lensshark@gmail.com. He writes, "Hi Sharky, love the show. I've been a full-time professional photographer for about 15 years now, and while I have a rather solid client base, I see newer photographers enter the business, grow massive online followings, and I'm rather concerned that I'm not doing enough to promote myself. I have a website, of course, and a Twitter account, which I rarely use, but what else should I be doing? I don't want to lose ground and not be able to feed my children anymore. Cheers." Thank you so much for your question, Mark. You know, you're definitely not alone in this, and you have skin in the game, as we all say. You're doing this for a living. It's tough enough as it is out there with seemingly everyone being a photographer, and now you're having to be active online to find clients. Back in the old days, you'd have an ad in the Yellow Pages and call it good. But here in 2016 now, you have to be active on social media and do so much more just to keep the bills paid. Now, you mentioned that you already have a website, so that's good. Of course, everyone needs a website. And I would make sure that it's not only up to date and features the best of your best work, you also have to make sure that it's mobile responsive. That is critical these days. I can't overstate how important it is to make sure that your website is mobile responsive. You know, most people are turning their phones and tablets to look up information rather than go hit their actual computer. Some people aren't even buying computers anymore. So if your site isn't mobile responsive, you're just going to look old-timey and frustrate them. Now, for those that don't know, being mobile responsive means that when someone goes to your website on their device, let's say their phone or iPad, whatever it is, they see a version of it that's tailored for that screen. It's not simply scaled down. It's presented in a whole different way, which makes sense for that device. You know, no one wants to have to pinch and zoom to see the information. They want it presented to them. They want to be able to click a link, go to a page. They want to be able to see the text without having to zoom in and out, click a photo. That they'll zoom in and out for, but they don't want to do it for text. So if your website isn't mobile responsive, check into something like Squarespace. Now, they're $10 a month, and many, if not all, the templates are mobile responsive. I'm pretty sure they are. It's an ongoing cost, of course, but you'll be changing along with the times, and you can make changes to your site easily. And that's not an ad, folks. I know a lot of people think every time I mention something that it's an ad. It's not. If it was, you would know it. I would tell you. And also, I'd have an offer code for you, but I don't. So hit Google, and you'll definitely find one. I've used Squarespace myself for years, and I can't say enough great things about them. Now, as for social media, you already have Twitter, but how much are you using it? Now, you don't want to go crazy and tweet things out that are completely irrelevant, like what you had for lunch, because that's going to cause people to unfollow you. So make sure that it's actually content that brings value to people. You know, even if it's just a pretty photo or a sale that you're running, something, it's got to be relevant content. And if you don't have content to post, that is definitely an area that you want to work on. You also want to make sure that your clients are okay with you posting their photos, because a lot of people get sued from that. So make sure you have a model release and specify that you can use those photos for your social media, advertising, etc. Hopefully you've already got that taken care of. But today, it is all about Instagram. People aren't using Twitter as much as they used to, so make sure you're posting on there as well. You need to, at very least, have a presence on all the major social media platforms. I think it's worthwhile to see what your competition is doing, take note of what seems to be working for them, and give that a shot. You know, if you shoot senior photos, you're going to want to find the best one from a recent shoot. Maybe you did it in a really cool location, got a really great image. You're going to post that. You're going to tag that person in there. They're going to show their friends. And then people are going to discover the services that you have available by them helping to promote you. And that is a great way to get the word out about your services. Instagram is definitely a great way to get a lot of eyeballs on your work these days. I really need to take my own advice though and post more. I think it's been like 6 weeks or so since the last time I posted. But I'm not selling my services, you know? I got nearly 9,000 or so people that are following me on Instagram because I host this podcast, right? So for me, it's a really fun way to connect with people, but I should do more of that. Social media for photographers is an odd beast, but it's something you definitely need to look into. Your younger clients and your potential future clients are all over Instagram these days. You said you've been in business for about 15 years or so, so you're at least in your mid-30s, maybe older, I don't know. So your senior photos clients, they're like 17, 18 years old, right? And most of your engaged couples are really not much older than that. Connecting with them could be challenging, but you want to post your best, most compelling work, show them that you know what you're doing, in a style that they like and respond to, and I think you're going to get more business from that. You know, we're bombarded with imagery these days, right? And most of them are really crappy snapshots and selfies. So when people see amazing photography, they take note and they want to show other people. One thing that your younger competition isn't going to think of doing, though, is joining your local chamber of commerce. Chambers usually have weekly events that bring together local business leaders, and it's a great opportunity to not only network, but think about it. These people are often pretty well paid, own businesses themselves, and have the kind of money that is needed to hire you. They often have kids in high school, kids who are getting married, etc. And they also need headshots for their websites, their social media accounts, and a lot more. This is not stuff that your competition on the younger end of the scale would even ever think of. So join your local chamber, attend their events, network like crazy, and when they're thinking about hiring a photographer, you want your name to come to mind first. When I was a photojournalist, I'd have to shoot chamber events quite frequently, and I can tell you that often the members will go with whoever they know. They're not going to do any searching beyond that. Oh, we know this guy. Let's hire him. He's our photographer. We know him. We like him. He's our go-to guy. It really is that simple sometimes. They go with who they know, and they have the money to pay for quality work. That is what you want. So definitely make sure that you're present and active on social media, but also look into joining your local chamber. It's really important. And thank you so much for your question, Mark. I hope that really helps you. I'd like to thank you all for listening to episode 35 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. Don't forget to check us out at petapixel.com/podcast for the show notes and to see what else we have for you. If you head on over there, you can leave us a voicemail question that we can answer here on the show. Or if you don't feel comfortable leaving a voicemail, feel free to email me at lensshark@gmail.com. And if you'd like to connect with me personally, hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook, where I'm Lensshark. That's LENSSHARK. All right, with that, I'll see you all in episode 36. Well, it's F8 and 250th of a second outside. It's time to shoot.
Please subscribe to the Petapixel Photography Podcast. My daddy is the host.